Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast. Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God! Ah! I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
But he's too buff to be real!
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Nick Hardy, the photographer of Born in Blood. Born in Blood, a fantastic selection of photos that he's created. They are visually absolutely stunning. Born in Blood, it's a selection of images, photos that he's taken alongside some pieces of writing that we talk about as well in the interview. It really does look beautifully visually beautiful. So stick around to the end of the show where we'll be giving you the links where you can be able to check out some of the photos on their social medias and even find out ways to purchase photos. Maybe you want a photo shoot yourself with Nick as well. I very, very highly recommend him as a photographer. Some beautiful work. We actually found out about Born in Blood on the podcast because of the exhibition he did alongside the Faceless Ventures team at the Mexborough Business Center. We weren't able to get there, but I did see some videos and some clips of the exhibition. It looked absolutely phenomenal. So without any further ado, let's take you to the interview with Nick Hardy.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro earlier, I am here with Nick Hardy. Nick, welcome to the Scare Track Podcast and thank you for coming on the show.
Hello everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, I really appreciate you coming on. Obviously, we have spoke briefly about Born in Blood and we've actually spoke about that on the Scare Track Podcast a few episodes ago as well. But obviously, you are basically the mastermind behind it. But before we get on to Born in Blood, I want to learn a little bit more about you, Nick. You're basically a freelance photographer, is that right?
That's correct. I've been involved in photography for 8 years, or was it 9 years? It all bleeds together.
Yeah, actually. I bet.
Started in photography in 2000 at college.
Oh, sweet, okay.
After the course... Didn't do anything with it, went straight into work at a cinema. From there, I got picked up by a production company and I worked with them for about 7 years. After that, I'd run its course. I thought, well, I remembered, I quite enjoyed photography. So after giving the video side of things a go as a freelance, it didn't really pan out. Customers just don't like to pay money.
Yeah, for video. Yeah, I hear that. Everyone thinks they can do it nowadays, don't they?
Yeah. That's so annoying. But
I bet. Sweet. So you're a photographer with Team Reflector.
Yeah, that's quite a new thing, Team Reflector.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd like to actually work with some people because I usually work alone.
Mm-hmm. So I see.
Yeah, my friend does video. For another friend who does photography, we cover each other's backs if we're not available for a particular job. We always refer each other. So I thought,
perfect.
Well, let's just join together and be an actual team.
Definitely makes sense. Safety in numbers, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Awesome. Okay, great. So obviously we know you you have a passion for photography and you've sort of come back into it after a small hiatus. So how did Born in Blood start? And if anyone's not entirely sure what Born in Blood is, obviously we've shared a few things when there's been an exhibition at the Mexico Business Centre with Lee and Sarah from Faceless Ventures. But how did it start, and what exactly is Born in Blood in essence?
The origin of Born in Blood began in September 2013, I think. Can't be that far back. It's only been 4 years. 2015. Yes.
Sweet, so we're going back 5 years nearly.
Oh, wow.
Time flies, doesn't it?
I'm 36 next weekend. No, this weekend. Oh. Ah!
Happy birthday.
thank you. So, September 2015. I was walking through Sainsbury's and I saw on the bottom shelf a stupid amount of that cheap fake blood at 10 cents each. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'll have that. It might come in useful.
There's a bargain. You know a bargain when you see one.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, well, it's there. So I took it all and it just sat in the studio for almost a year, and then one night I was just really bored, so I went into the studio and I'm gonna just have a bit of fun. Got a tube of it. I don't want to get my clothes dirty, so I took my top off, put some plastic around my jeans, just tucked it in so it didn't get dirty. Splashed on my hand, put my face, just made some silly faces for the camera.
Sweet. So it's basically started by accident as such then?
Yeah. I had no thoughts into it whatsoever. It's just, meh. Have that.
Just a bit of blood. Why not?
Yeah. Put a photo on Facebook and it didn't take long for people to start messaging me saying, oh, this looks really good. And it always makes me laugh when people praise my work because I know what goes into it, but they imagine that a lot more work has gone in.
You're not supposed to tell anyone your secrets. You're supposed to make out that it's taken you hours to get that perfect shot.
Oh, no, all art is fake. It takes 5 minutes, everything. No. But the greatest artworks are just accidents, which has happened a few times in my career.
The best things do come from accidents, absolutely. Ask my parents. I'm joking. So it sort of started by accident. How did it sort of progress into a fully fledged sort of, you know, subgenre that you do within your photography?
Good question. A lot of people started getting in touch with me saying they want to take part in it. They want their own bloody face portraits. We're having some time in the studio, you come down. And then we're on for a little bit, and then people start asking, what's it about? As all art is about something.
Yeah.
So I was like a deer in the headlights, thinking, I've got to get this thing a meaning now because it's meaningless right now.
Yeah.
I got in touch with my friend, George Daniel Lee, who is it's a horror author.
Right.
And with all the blood, I thought, oh, a horror author would be a good guy to go to get a short paragraph or even just a sentence of pretentious artistic babble just to make it sound good. And then he gave me a short story. I should have known better. George he loves to talk, but
he loves to talk, so he loves to write as well.
Yeah, but he's got the kind of voice where you love to hear him talk as well.
Oh, okay.
He gave me this short story, and quite quickly we realized that we could do more with this as a proper concept. So we had a little think, and we came up with, if I supply him with photos I've taken, he'll use those as his inspirations for more stories, then I'll use those stories as inspirations for more photos.
Perfect. So, win-win, yeah.
Yeah, we started feeding each other.
Nice. Okay. And again, that's sort of happened by accident, hasn't it, really?
Yeah. So,
perfect. So how many books have there been now?
There are 6 books available at the moment. It's a little bit complicated because the way that we wanted to use the books has forced us to package them in a in a particular way.
Right.
We wanted the profits of the book to go to charity.
Okay, perfect.
Now, George has had experience in trying to get book profit through publishers towards charities.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of red tape he had to deal with.
Yeah.
So it made it very difficult for his work to get published. It did get published in the end. So he's got a couple of books out there on Amazon that do quite nicely. And they are just horrific to read in a very good way. So we decided, right, we'll self-publish the books. And then we've got complete control. And we know that all the money is going to go to charity.
Yeah.
It makes them a little bit more expensive because it's self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to do 6 books instead of one big one, because that will be just in the hundreds of pounds. And no one can.
Yeah.
So 6 books, we've got 30 short stories, we've got a stupid amount of photos, like at this point over 15,000 photos.
Wow. That's a lot of blood as well, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it is. So, from my side, I have 6 volumes of Born in Blood available. Right. Each one raises money for a different charity.
Perfect.
George, having friends in publishing, has a different version of the Born in Blood books, where it's just the stories. Whereas mine has the stories and the photography.
I see. Well, that's cool. So you can, if you're a fan of both, you can basically get a version that has the artwork, photography, as well as the story that sort of coincides with it.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, what kind of stories? Obviously, I don't want you to give the whole synopsis away as such, but what kind of, if people listen to this after this, want to grab a copy, what kind of themes and stories do you guys explore with the photography and the books?
For the photography, I'm exploring mental health.
Oh, awesome.
Sort of the invisible or internal trauma and battles that people go through, and just kind of externalizing them.
Yeah, nice.
So I use the plastic as a way of showing the kind of the invisible barrier that puts up depression or body dysmorphia. It kind of like holds you back.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
From doing things or going out or. So that's where the plastic comes from. It's an invisible barrier.
Nice. Okay, but that works.
The blood, obviously, the trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
The nice thing, well, I say nice thing, I kind of wish it didn't have to be, but a lot of the people who've taken part have been able to find some sort of solace. Because they have their own issues or conditions to deal with.
Absolutely.
Therapeutic.
Yeah, like I was just about to say, like some form of therapy as such, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like we can just let loose and just scream our heads off without judgment.
That sounds awesome.
Let the pain out a little bit. But at the same time, I wish that wasn't a thing. And I wish these people were just like fine. And not.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those catch-22s, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like you wish that these people were all in, you know, in great places and whatnot. But then some people think it's easy tomorrow just stand in front of a camera. And although that is a case, you could probably direct anyone in any way you wanted them to. Still, it sometimes helps when a person's eyes tell a story anyway. So
yeah,
if you're shooting them, add on your, you know, Born in Blood layers of the blood and the plastic, you've got a nice bunch of ingredients to make a really impactful cocktail at the end of it.
Yeah, well, the way I structured the shoots were that I had the person, I told them, I didn't give them much direction, honestly, because I didn't want to make something up. I wanted something to be real.
Yeah.
So I had them stripped down, so they were either with no top on or in most cases, they were fully nude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it lets show vulnerability. Also, because getting fake blood on clothing is a nightmare.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
And it's a lot easier to clean skin.
Yes.
And I just gave them some blood, and some plastic and said, do something. Show me something. I gave them so they had creative freedom to do what they want to themselves.
Nice.
So they are the real artists here.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a two-way street, isn't it? Well, not just a two-way street. It's you as a photographer, the model, the books. It seems like a nice selection of things coming together to make quite a product, really.
Yeah, but in terms of where George is coming from with the stories,
that's getting deep.
Oh, it's very deep. George is very, very imaginative. So we've got the main theme of the stories is trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the trauma of being born without permission.
Oh, okay.
Nobody was asked, do you want to be born? The first thing we do when we come into the world is scream.
Yeah.
So.
And we're cold and we're wet and we don't like it.
Yeah, everything's just sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horror to something that has never seen this reality before.
Yeah.
And he ran with that. So that's the central theme. But it delves into sort of metaphysics and altering realities and the influences this place called Aberice has on our world.
Mm-hmm. All does sound pretty damn deep, man.
Yeah.
But it sounds good as well, though. It sounds like it makes for an intriguing read, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's a nice anthology, so you've got some stories that sort of carry on from each other, but then they're really standalone stories, but they've all got this central thread that runs through.
And yeah,
it all comes together in the last story. I think it's called The Last Gospel.
Right, okay, sweet. So if people needed closure on it, you know, in The Last Gospel, they'd be able to get that sort of closure on this sort of born in blood realm.
Kind of. It's.
But I guess everything's also open to interpretation as well, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. He writes in a very poetic way.
Yeah.
So it's very descriptive. It's very descriptive, but at the same time ambiguous.
Yeah.
So you're very much building the world in your own head, and you've got that freedom to do that. You're not like told this thing looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very much an expert in horror. He's a story editor for Genres of Horror. He reviews horror films and horror books, and. Sweet. He knows his stuff. He hates modern horror with a passion.
Right. He prefers the old school stuff.
Yeah, the most modern thing he likes is the first It. That gave an indication to him that horror was coming back.
Okay.
As a way of not so much an entertainment with jump scares and cheap
pops. Yeah.
Yeah. Where horror should be something that stays with you and just unsettles you and keeps you up at night, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And his work does that. I read one of his short stories years ago from his first book, and that night I had a nightmare. I woke up sweating, and it was the first time I'd done that since I was a small child.
Mm-hmm.
The story was about a man who was visits a virtual reality cafe, and not to distant future, so you can fulfill any fantasy you want.
Yeah.
And if you've done everything, obviously it's the way things are going to go quite the sexual way, because you want to experience everything. And this guy had been doing it so long that his ultimate fantasy at that point was he's chained over a pit. And you have these beautiful women with various instruments just slicing him to pieces, and he's alive through everything.
Oh.
Experiences every part of it, even when he's down to the last two cells being split.
Oh.
So I had a dream that night of being torn apart and being able to feel everything.
Wow.
So I told George that, and he took it as a huge compliment.
I bet he did, yeah.
And also told me I wasn't the first person to tell him that.
Wow. It's crazy how writing can really affect someone's brain, isn't it?
Yeah. I do like insane. To... Actually, bear with me a second.
Sure.
I'd like to do a thing with Jordan's work where it's... You pick a random story and a random paragraph and it's disturbing in some way.
Right, okay.
Okay, here's one.
I'm ready.
No more. The engine dying around us, a realization that prophecies coined by the lesser conditions that constitute it, their apocalypses, however grandiose, nothing compared to this final convulsion, this celestial fever.
Yeah, I was just closing my eyes listening to that. It's I'm quite intrigued to read more of his work actually now. I mean, it'll probably terrify me and I won't sleep, but it sounds
Each sentence can tell a story. It's very
It's one that you have to really just forget about anything else that's going on and just either listen to your words or just read his stories really without any distractions. You could probably really escape in that sort of darker world, couldn't you?
Yeah, I did the first book I published was a series preview book, like halfway through. Mm-hmm. It's a 100-page book, so I thought, oh, I'll take a sentence from various stories and just put a sentence with a picture.
Yeah.
So I got 100 sentences, and then I started to read them, and I realised I could put these in order to tell sort of a story.
Okay.
And they were randomly picked, but it ended up telling a story of humanity using science to create its own god, and then that god turning on them.
Oh, okay. That sounds intense.
Yeah, and that was just from randomly picked sentences arranged in a certain way.
Yeah, see, that's mad, isn't it? So the sentences were already there. You just moved them into the order that you wanted to create this sort of small short story.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. That's something that I just wouldn't have the talent to do, in all honesty. It's mad. I'd just look at it and it just looked like a random bunch of sentences. I wouldn't think to sort of move them in a certain way or to get anything else from it.
Yeah, that's just down to the talent of George being able to write these things that can fit anywhere.
True, actually, yeah. Anyone can write something, but it takes a true talent to write something proper, meaningful, and to get something as dark as you mentioned, again, with your dream. And the scary thing about dreams is that although you're actually physically not getting cut up and whatnot, but you feel like you can feel that stuff happening in your dream. I felt I was getting my left foot chopped off by a wicked witch when I was a child, and you could feel, although obviously your foot hasn't been sliced off, you can still sort of feel it in your dream. So reading any of his work would probably terrify me because I won't sleep for days.
His first work, Strange Playgrounds, that those stories have a hint of hopefulness at the end.
Okay.
The Born in Blood stories are not hopeful at all.
Right. So if anyone likes happy endings, don't read the Born in Blood books.
No.
It's all bleak and it's all dark, but I'm sure it's all quite exciting as well at the same time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. I mean, I didn't know anything about Born in Blood. I'm obviously learning loads more talking to you now, Nick. But the first time I came across it was during the exhibition at the Mexico Business Centre. What made you sort of exhibit this in the way that you did? I mean, the Faceless Ventures team obviously helped create the really cool sort of... It was sort of an attraction slash art gallery viewing, wasn't it? How did this sort of idea come about with Faceless Ventures, and how was it exactly executed for any listeners that didn't quite see the photos or the videos from the event?
Okay, I wanted to exhibit the work anyway, but I knew that if I approached a gallery, it may not be picked up, or if it does, it's going to be put on a waiting list.
Of course, yeah.
So I thought, well, I may as well just put it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to look around for suitable venues, and then I started to get the idea of, oh, we could actually probably do a scare attraction with this.
Yeah.
Because some of the people who took part were also involved in scare attractions, scare experiences.
Yeah.
So I put the question up on Facebook. And Frankie Yates.
Yes. We love Frankie. Good friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah, I love her.
She put me in touch with Lee and Sarah, and because it's a recommendation that came from her, I thought, I'll pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
We got in touch with them, and amazing people. They were fully on board from the beginning.
Yeah. And
brought lots of ideas to it. They helped get the venue, so that was a big help.
Yeah, of course. And it's a great little venue, isn't it? It's so yeah. Different down in that cellar.
Oh, very different. Yeah. Especially after we were finished with it.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted the gallery to be something that no one's experienced for an art gallery before.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with the plan of upstairs would be kind of a general area for people to mingle.
Yeah.
Because I tried to get people, other artists, to come and exhibit their work.
Right, okay.
In the general area, just, you know, pick up some local talent.
Yeah.
But no one could actually make it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, well.
More eyes on your stuff, I guess, then, though, isn't it? So, nah.
Yeah. I tried, but hey, next time, maybe. So, upstairs we had George, who was doing some readings and talking about the project, and we did some interviews with models.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking part on stage just to get more of a friendly face on it, I suppose.
Yeah.
We also did artwork for sale, books for sale as well. We did some charity auctions, and we ended up raising £470.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So that was nice to be able to just do a direct donation to those guys. And
absolutely.
It was downstairs when things got really interesting.
So yeah.
For about a week prior to the event, myself, Lee and Sarah were just constructing this gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just layers upon layers of plastic with blood in between. We've got the artwork on the walls, we've got barbed wire and just nasty. It looks horrible when it's well lit.
Yeah. It looked, I mean, I'm coming from a scare attraction sort of background, so to me, it looked beautiful. I remember seeing clips on the Faceless Ventures Facebook page. But yeah, to the normal, air quotes, normal eye, like you're saying here, it looked horrible, but in a great way.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So we got some of the scare actors in there, Frankie again,
mm-hmm.
Down in the gallery as well, just to... I didn't want anybody to jump out and or grab people. I just wanted them there as a presence.
Yeah.
Because when people went down in groups, the lights were turned off and they had a small torch.
Yeah, and it's a very narrow space, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was a purpose. The torch was small, mm-hmm. but I beamed smaller.
Nice.
So they had to get real close to see the artwork, but that's all they could see.
Nice.
And from the screams I heard, it went very well.
Fair play. And if you've got people like Frankie down there, you know that it's in good hands, definitely.
Yeah, I snuck down myself as well and stood in one of the corners just to watch people.
Nice.
And I was very pleased with the results.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, it looked absolutely fantastic. And like I say, that's how I sort of come to know what I did know about Born in Blood. And obviously, I speak to Lee and Sarah quite regularly, and they spoke very highly of your work as well, which is why it's great to finally get you on the podcast. So exhibition was a huge success, and next up, you're sort of moving from the page to the screen, is that right?
Yeah. Now, after the exhibition, we did have people saying or asking, when's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great to do another exhibition, because I do have a lot more artwork I haven't shot yet. Well,
yeah.
I haven't shown yet. So another exhibition is definitely on the cards. I do want to do something different with it,
mm-hmm.
because you can't do the same thing every time. And
of course,
so I do want to get more of an independent horror, kind of a mini convention. Set up.
Okay.
Where if there's anything that's mainstream horror, it'll be turned away.
Right, I see.
Because to me, mainstream horror is gory, but it's not exactly scary.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of people who would disagree with that, but when you've got a plushy doll of Pinhead, it's no longer scary.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's too commercialised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, get some decent independent horror artists and writers. Get them known to the public and you know, help them with their own works. You've got to help each other to get ahead.
Absolutely, yeah. We've said this on the podcast before, you know, collaboration, scratching each other's back, helping each other out is definitely the way forwards for everyone. I totally agree with you there.
The one other thing I really want to do with Born in Blood is a scare experience based on it.
Nice. Well, it's a good story, you know, the little bits that you've told me here from the short stories and obviously the artwork and the meaning behind it. It's quite a unique theme anyway, and scare attractions and haunted attractions and such, they are, although we love them here on the podcast, they are mostly, 90% of them are quite generic, your clowns, your chainsaws, your hillbillies, your asylums and whatnot. Yeah. This is something that is very different and is very translatable from your work into the scare attraction realm, so I definitely think that there's scope for a fantastic attraction out of this, 100%.
Yeah, well, I haven't even told you about the cults involved in the stories.
The what?
There's one story, what's it called? I think it's... See, the story of Little Mad Gods is about a little girl who destroys the world with the power of her thoughts.
Oh, she sounds nice.
Is it one apart? Yes, the story One Apart. That's about a cult that brings about some kind of deity that could be considered a weapon against the world. But the description of the cult is horrific. It's not very nice, and that's what I want to bring to a scare attraction. It's sort of just this horrible world that you just get thrust into when you're seeing rituals and sacrifices and chanting and
again, another sensory overload, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just one story. There's another story of a character who's kept in the attic because he can't keep his face the same shape.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, he can't make it. He can make any face he wants, but he can't quite make a human face. So he's kept it in the attic and he's very bitter about his mother about it. And
wow. That's a really smart idea, actually. I don't even think I've heard anything like that before. So, yeah, that'd be really cool, actually. What you should do is just find a scare park that are happy to make all six books into into six different attractions, and you're away you go. You're spot on.
And well, while we were setting the exhibition... we were also in talks with Lee and Sarah to do a scare attraction with Faceless Ventures.
Perfect.
And that is still on the cards. It's something I definitely do want to do at some point. But what happened first is that, as you pointed out earlier, we went from page to screen.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I started getting involved in film production again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time just as a photographer. And right. Through getting to know people, and they're asking about previous work, obviously Born in Blood comes up because it's the biggest thing I've done.
Yeah.
On the drive back from Manchester with a producer, I'm reading him some of George's stories, and he's loving it. He asked me to send everything I have, so I do. And he starts a conversation with George, and between them, they come up with a story.
Sweet.
And together, you know, with some great crew and great actors, we started to make a short film.
Okay.
Based on a short story.
Sweet.
The story was expanded. So the film was expanded. It became at present, it's a feature length film.
Wow, crikey.
We're in post production at the moment, so we're just going to be starting actually editing it next week.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, we've had to go through all the footage and just trim the fat.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can probably start editing it next week, hopefully for an April release.
Wow, fair play. So we need to be keeping an eye out on your socials for that.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll get a Scare Track exclusive, I don't know.
Well, there we go, there we go. Like I say, it all helps when we're helping each other out and collaborating, definitely. That's awesome, sweet. So, yeah, I mean, you're dipping your fingers into many ponds, 100%, with obviously photography and now making a, well, what was going to be a short film is now a feature-length, you know, full film. So, yeah, and you reckon that might be ready April time?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's been the first time I've acted.
Okay.
I ended up being cast as a serial killer.
Nice.
Which is, I wouldn't say it's fitting because of all the Born in Blood, but I remember meeting a casting director years ago when I signed up to an extra agency.
Mm-hmm.
His first words to me were, "You don't look half as psycho as you do in your photo." Okay.
That was a nice, was that a compliment? Or?
I don't know. I took the photo at 4 a.m. after work, so I was very tired. But... So
you
this,
don't look half a psycho as you do in your photo. Wow.
Yeah. So I played a serial killer in... The film's called Hymns of Avarice.
Okay.
We've got an Instagram and a Facebook page, and it's linked to the Born in Blood Facebook page. And,
perfect.
And it was very interesting because I've got the victim tied down to the table and I'm monologuing to her, and the cast and crew around me are just... silent because they're being too creeped out.
nice. That's the best. That's what you want, isn't it? Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So we got very creepy. We had a very nice, horrible incident on the last section of filming for the serial killer.
Oh, go on.
Everything went well. No one got hurt.
That's the main thing. Get that out first, definitely. No one died in the making of this film. That's the best part.
But almost.
Oh, geez, go on.
So we think, oh, a really good shot will be a scalpel approaching the eyeball.
Ooh, don't.
So, if you reverse a lens on a camera, it turns it into a macro lens.
Right.
So you can get stupidly close.
Okay.
So that's what we did. We've got a macro lens on the actor's on the actor's eye. Very, very close.
Ooh, okay.
And then, like, the bottom third of the screen is the eye.
Okay. Ooh, I feel sick just thinking about it.
And then I very gently, instructing the actor not to blink or move, slowly bring in the scalpel. So it's just where it almost touches. So I don't want to touch the eye.
I'm guessing this is a real scalpel as well, not a prop.
Oh, it's real. Everything's real, low budget.
Ooh.
So the scalpel gets very close, and we just get to the point where, okay, we got the shot. Then the model blinks.
Ooh.
And I just jerk my hand back. Very quickly. Ooh.
That's too close for comfort, isn't it?
Because I'm watching this on the screen, so I know how close I am. So when they blink, I bring my hand back and everyone takes a breath and, oh. But we watched the footage back, and as they blinked, the scalpel went through the eyelashes.
Oh, wow.
Which it's a shame we can't use that part in the film because I'm supposed to be slicing into it. But we got that point. We got enough of the knife going towards it, and you can see the reflection of the scalpel in the eye as well.
Oh, now, yeah, it's a shame you can't use that in the film. But I mean, it would make a good shot for like a just to put on Facebook, or just to put anywhere, isn't it? Just to
we got the shot.
Yeah,
it was just that end part when she blinked. It's like, oh, but oh, it went very well.
That my eyes are just stinging thinking about that. That's going to get a lot of people squealing, definitely. I can't wait to see it. Well, I say I can't wait. I'm an absolute wuss and a pansy, so I'll probably get nightmares from it. But that sounds exciting. So that's basically the next thing to come, you know, from you and the team there with Born in Blood. It's this this new film, Hymns of... how am I saying that, sorry? Hymns of Aberyse.
Aberyse, yeah. It's a portmanteau of abattoir and paradise.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Very smart. Nice.
Yeah, that's what George is.
Yeah, a wordsmith indeed. Absolutely. So what sort of... What's coming for you in the future? Obviously, next up is to get this film finished and released in some way, but what do you have planned other than the scare attraction with Faceless Ventures? Do you have any other secret plans that you want to let the rest of the world know, or are you keeping all the cards close to your chest at the minute?
Oh, no, I'm happy to talk about what I've got planned for the future with it.
Perfect. Yeah, what's up next?
Yeah, obviously, with it being a charity-based or charity-focused horror project,
mm-hmm.
I want to keep it going for as long as I can, but I also want to make it as profitable as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with the £470 that we raised through the book so far and the event.
Definitely.
But I'm also aware of the fact that I would be able to make more if I had more recognizable faces.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So my hope for the future is to get some celebrities involved.
Nice.
Start with the C-list and build my way up.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. That'd be really cool. The best thing there is when we go to sort of the press events of Tullus Schocktoberfest or Scare Kingdom and things like that, those sort of celebs do those sort of not meet and greets as such, but appearances. So you never know, those might be the kind of people to go for first, because they might be up for doing something a little bit more horrific.
Yes. One of the things I've been trying to do is get to HorrorCon in Rotherham.
Yes. Yeah. That's this May, isn't it? Yeah. It's back again.
Yeah. I was going to get a table booked for this year, but some fool decided to use my bank account without my permission.
Oh, so wow.
I had to deal with that. It was right around the time they put the tables up for sale.
Oh, bloody hell.
I couldn't get a table, so that was my own horror to deal with. Last year, Faceless Ventures put up their own table, and they were good enough to represent Born in Blood as well, because they put on the show that they had on the exhibition.
Of course.
HorrorCon. I think Faceless Ventures is going to be there again this year, so I might have to speed talk to them again.
I'm sure they'll let you, definitely.
Yeah. So, but I really want to get involved with a horror convention.
Yeah.
Because I do find that if you're on the other side of the table, you've got better access to guests and...
Of course.
They're going to be more open to start having a conversation with you because you're on that side of the table.
Yeah, you're not the general Joe Public who bought a ticket to get in to visit. You're there as part of the event as such.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense.
It makes it... You're on more of a common ground, so it's easy to talk to them.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's the plan. I would have loved to get Jeffrey Combs
involved. Mm.
I was going to do one for a London HorrorCon a few years ago, and that fell through. Convention didn't happen, which was a real shame because I'd already booked the table and everything.
Oh, wow, that's a shame.
Yeah.
But everything happens for a reason. You never know what might be around the corner. There's a few different horror cons around the UK as well now, isn't there? So maybe even comic cons. Although they are, you know, mainly for comics, there's actually quite a diverse sort of group of people that go there. So you never know, a comic con sort of thing or a games con. There's so many different kind of cons now, aren't there? And I'm sure that Born in Blood would fit into a handful of them.
Well, I help run a convention myself.
Oh, cool.
Transformers.
Oh, nice. A Transformers convention.
Yeah, it's Europe's largest Transformers convention, TF Nation.
Wow.
And one of the voice actors I met years ago, a wonderful actor called Peter Spellos, we've become really good friends. He used to do B-movies back
in the day. Right, okay.
So he's done TV series and B movies, you know, the kind of chainsaw cheerleader type things.
Yeah.
And he sat for me for Born in Blood while at this Transformers convention.
Wow.
So I took him up to my room, put up some plastic and gave him some fake blood, and he put on as much as he wanted and just gave me these emotions into the camera, and I'm like, oh, this is really, really good.
I bet.
But I would love to get more and more actors involved.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Starting to work in film, you start to get access to people who know people who know people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have them on the show now and again. We do a few collaborations with the UK Haunters team. They've just created the first feature-length documentary about the UK scare attraction industry. And Dan is the director and Jess, his wife, is the producer. But they have also created quite a handful of B-movies as well. And like you say, they will know a certain celeb who will know a certain celeb and whatnot. So, they'd probably be a good people to have on your contact list as well, because, you know, once you get your foot in the door, you'd be surprised on how small the industry can be and who knows who.
Yeah, I've recently worked on some poster art for a film, Easing Miss Campbell. It's been made by a friend of mine I worked with years ago. He got in touch with me and said, you'd be able to do me some artwork. Like, of course. When I got on set, the makeup artist, she worked on a Born in Blood shoot.
Oh, cool.
And we just met each other randomly again on this film set.
Yeah, oh, wow. Small world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's really cool. That's really cool. So lots of exciting things to come up there, not only this feature film, but obviously wanting to try and get basically a higher profile with celebrities and whatnot as well, because it's all in a good cause as well. It's all, like you say, profitable to charity. So it's all for a good cause as well. Yeah. Where's the best place for, if our listeners are listening to this episode now and they want to copy of Born in Blood, one of the six short stories or your artwork, where's the best place for them to be able to purchase that?
The best place is just go to the Born in Blood Facebook page. It's Born in Blood Book on Facebook. Perfect. And that has links to the online store where you can get the stories and the books.
Excellent, sweet.
And artwork. We have the exhibition prints available to purchase.
Oh, cool.
So you get these huge A1 size prints.
Wow.
They're ready to go. We've sold a few already, which I'm quite happy about.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. So yeah, we'll link that as well below in our show notes, the Born in Blood book. Obviously there's actually quite a few different pages that they can get you on. Obviously there's Nick Hardy Photographer, which is, I guess, your main photography page. You've got the Born in Blood book. You've got a handful of socials here that we'll link as many as you can in the show notes below as well. But I think that brings us quite nicely to the end of this interview. I mean, is there anything else that we've missed off that you want to make sure our listeners know all about?
Just support your local artists, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? If anyone gets anything from this interview, definitely that. Support your local artists. Perfect. So I think that brings us to the perfect end of this episode. I sincerely appreciate you coming on, Nick. Thank you so, so much. And I wish you the best of luck in the future. If anyone wanted to contact you directly now, whether it be for Born in Blood or they need a photographer or videographer or absolutely anything, what's the best way to contact you?
Again, through Facebook, Nick Hardy Photography.
Perfect. And again, like I say, we'll link that below in the show notes. Nick, like I say, thank you so, so much for coming on the Scaredshot podcast. I look forward to meeting you in person, hopefully one day. We want to get to HorrorCon as well, so we may see you there if you're still visiting. Otherwise, it'd be great to collab again in the future and maybe work on something together as well.
Yeah, I do actually have a better ending message.
Go ahead. Love a good ending message.
If you have an idea, no matter how weird or out there, go for it. You never know where it might lead. It could be to your own TV show or film.
That's very true. That is a good, that's a That's a very good ending statement. Absolutely. Definitely. And like we spoke about just before we went on air, Born in Blood just came about as a joke, as an accident, didn't it? So
yeah,
you never know. Again, this podcast, I didn't really think I'd be doing it 4 years later, but here we go. I was just an idiot with a microphone, and now here we are. So great. Awesome. I mean, Nick, it's been really great talking to you. I sincerely appreciate you coming on, spending taking time out to come onto the Scare Trap podcast. Like I say, I'm wishing you the best of luck with everything Born in Blood and absolutely everything else that you're working on as well. And we'll speak to you very, very soon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
So there we go. A huge thank you to Nick for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast. Really do appreciate it. What an awesome interview and some really cool stuff there. I'm really intrigued to read some of these stories. I want to see more of these visuals because the artwork I've seen over on his Facebook page is truly stunning. I kind of want a photo shoot myself. I want to be Born in Blood. And if you guys want to be Born in Blood, just click those links below in the show notes where you'll be able to find out the best way to contact Nick and to check out his social media pages. So that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scare Trap podcast. A huge thank you for listening. If you missed our last episode, Coaster Track is back for the 2020 season, and we interviewed the whole team, well, almost the whole team, bar one, of the Trick Track podcast. So just click down and check out that episode there. We've got more Scare Trap episodes coming up as well. I know it's not Halloween, but there's still plenty of scary stuff to be talking about, whether it be going to out-of-season scares or interviewing people like this episode here with Nick. We've also launched a brand new series over on our YouTube channel, Scare Trap Movie Reviews. The first two have already gone up online, so go and check that out at scaretrack.co.uk or direct at youtube.com/scaretrack. We're not going to be reviewing every single horror film out there. There's plenty of YouTube channels that do a fantastic job of that. But we are going to be in basically checking out every film that's the subgenre of a haunt slash scare attraction slash escape game-esque film. There's quite a handful out there now. It's become quite the subgenre, and it's the subgenre that we think we kind of know a fair bit about. It was Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters that gave me the idea, so we've put it into a YouTube mini series, but eventually myself and Dan will be sitting down and making those review episodes into full feature-length podcasts here on the Scare Track podcast. So check out that as soon as it comes round. We'll let you know when we are recording those over on our social media pages. And if you're not following us on social media, why not? Where are you? Go and join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Give us a like, a share, a comment. It would be absolutely fantastic to interact with you over on our social media pages. Also, if you're listening to us on your normal streaming service, please do click that subscribe button to make sure you're notified when you ever get a new episode to listen to. We really do like getting all the feedback over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Player FM, wherever you're hearing us now. We sincerely do appreciate it. So guys, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scare Trap podcast. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye guys.